Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Are we ready to do this? Yeah. Katie Moneypenny, we're good to go?
Audio on this
thing. We have audio on this thing. What? Oh, God.
Come on.
I just get angrier. Each string hit.
I'm gonna tap dance like a scorpion. What the hell's going on?
There's so much to dislike about this song, but if I have
name
to pick
one thing.
If I have to pick one thing, Ben.
Name it.
It is the breakdown where she goes, Sigmund Freud, analyze this, analyze this.
Oh yeah. Was Analyze This really popular that year?
I think she was just, it was on.
2002?
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie was watching it.
It was jumping on those trends, as you guys have talked about how the Bond movies do. Analyze This trend. Welcome to James Bonding with Matt and Matt and our wonderful guests today.
He's looking for our names in his phone.
Matt Squared and Ben Squared.
I was turning down the volume. It's the Bens, Acker and Blacker, our good friends, the Bens, our Bens.
Our Bens, not Ben Folds, Ben Lee, and Ben Harper. They're the Bens. They recorded as the Bens, guys, I'm just saying.
Ben Kenobi. You should get them to cover that song.
No.
I love that.
No one should be forced to do that. Welcome to the Pierce Brosnan era, everybody.
Oh, jeez. Buckle in, take a ride, sit your sister down, and explain to her that things are going to get rough in the family for a while. Ben and Ben write the unbelievably fantastic, thrilling adventure hour show that performs regularly here in Hollywood, Los Angeles. And then occasionally throughout the nation, specifically in New York, often at the Bell House in Brooklyn, right?
Correct.
And they're comic writers as well, right?
Guys, what don't you do?
Yeah.
Don't laugh at yourself.
TV won't have us.
Get insurance through the guild.
There's a place on our website to donate.
Yeah, insurance. You can donate insurance.
Well, guys.
You deserve this Madonna song.
Thanks to the Affordable Health Care Act.
I can't hear me at all.
Okay. Oh, turn your headphones up and then get up on that.
How's this? Is that better?
Well, I can hear you. Oh, now I can hear me.
Jensen Karp, that shit. Get up on this. That's a reference to a podcast. Anyway.
Chart exclusive.
Guys, we like to talk to everybody about their life experience with James Bond. Were you guys fans of the series?
I guess I was. I liked it all right. It didn't ever stick to my ribs, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember I was, for this podcast, I was like, what is the first James Bond movie I ever saw? Uh-huh. And I think it was The Living Daylights.
Oh. I like The Living Daylights. Yeah. I like that a lot.
All I remember really is Grace Jones and Deadly Butterflies.
Mm. Oh, you're thinking of A View to a Kill.
Oh, shh. Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right. It's okay.
Let's take this over. Start again. Madonna.
We're here to coach you through this. Madonna.
I'm gonna tap dance like a dripping oil bit. If that's another Brosnan movie, forgive me.
But I guess that's pretty much an illustration of how much I've taken James Bond with me.
Well, that's okay. At least you've experienced it.
But what I think both of us like, and I remember it came up in college when we had that
we
film history
it in
class.
College. Yeah. I watched like all the the Connery ones.
Take me there, yeah, guys. Like, where were you in college?
We were at Syracuse University together.
Go
and
all
this
around.
Is Ben Blacker speaking, and then we'll voice check Ben Acker.
How do you do that?
Like that.
There you go. Professionals.
He did it.
Podcast professionals. But I remember, like, the thing that we were into was basically, like, the James Bond fandom, like the James Bond thing, not necessarily the individual movies. Like, we got into that. Because I remember we had that class and we're like, oh, this was a way bigger thing than we realized it was.
So you were a fan of the documentary on the Goldfinger DVD, this the Goldfinger phenomenon.
Well, it's like the trappings of James Bond, yeah, way more than any individual movie. Like, I saw Goldfinger as a youth, and it made an impression, but only in that, like, oh, now I recognize all these
the
things.
The references.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a culture that came up around it, or, like, something bigger than the sum of it.
Galaxy Quest is the best James Bond movie.
I mean, this is, like we say, we've never seen Star Trek, but Galaxy Quest is the best Star Trek movie.
Oh, it's
like,
great.
If there were a James Bond for that, if there were a movie for James Bond.
There is. It's called...
It kind of was.
Yeah, either Austin Powers or Johnny English.
Oh,
which,
come on.
Which is written by the same guys who wrote Die Another Day.
Yes. Well, I really, just read that.
Batman, the Nolan Batmans are in many ways classic Bonds.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the Bond stuff has infused all of post-Bond movies, especially after the Brosnan ones.
Yeah.
You know what? Those were so big.
I found the weirdest thing recently, a Bond reference. Tell me if you remember this. One of the Friday the 13th movies begins with Jason walking out in the gun barrel sequence and turning to the camera.
Awesome.
And it has like a Bond allusion to it. Isn't that crazy?
When was that?
It would have been in the 80s. It was one of the later, like...
Manhattan?
It's one of those. Yeah, it's
Space.
Or it's either that or Goes to Hell.
Space.
I can't remember.
Speaking of space, I want to read to you guys a quote from Roger Moore about this film. It pretty much sums up what happened.
And this is coming from the campiest of the Bonds.
This is coming from our personal favorite Bond. I think
Vincent
we both
Price
share that this Roger Moore is our favorite.
Well, I
think
Daniel Craig is my favorite, but I love Roger Moore. So just so we have some spice in our relationship.
Need to.
We got a spoon in some way. We can't be facing each other exactly.
Roger Moore stated, I thought it just went too far. And that's from me, the first Bond in space. Invisible cars and dodgy CGI footage? Please.
He's right on. Look.
The guy knows what's up.
I think some people have... Well, because since I read the email, there are people who are like...
Meow.
Some people that said... No, that was,
what's the email? I don't understand.
Yeah, Myra can't read. He's not internet savvy.
There are some people that I feel like are depending on... The podcast always being a little positive about the movie, and I totally understand that because we all love Bond, and so sometimes it's hard to hear your baby made fun of. But I think even you, 3%, can understand how this particular episode's going to be real fun in a different way. We're going to take this movie. We're going to take this movie to Task Town, and we're just going to kick it and see if it still is alive.
We're not taking the express. We're taking the local. We're going to stop at every stop.
And also, I just woke up.
I do want to say, and as a longtime listener of your podcast.
First time caller. Thank you.
First time.
Ben and I have been listening to your podcast since 1987.
What?
We're
big
fans. But like on the Skyfall episode, and I saw Skyfall before listening to the episode, and I loved the movie. Mm-hmm. And but then listening to you two take it apart and talk about how it makes no sense, and yet you still really like the movie,
it
made me go back and watch it. And you were absolutely correct.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Because also part of the reason we have you guys on for this episode specifically is you're writers. And so we kind of want some answers about this movie.
Oh, no, because I want some answers about this movie.
Can we get Brosno here?
Brosno.
Get Bronholm in here.
Okay, so here's the thing. I love Pierce Brosnan. And I'm alone
in
the world. I enjoy him.
I don't think you're alone. I think there's a lot of people like...
He was great in the Cannonball Run series, right? Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Roger Moore again.
Tom DeLuise.
Tom.
I'm Jack Elam.
But this is...
correct pull.
Wow. This is Brosnan's final outing.
Rest in peace.
Yes. But the first for us.
Yeah.
And us too.
This is the 40th anniversary of Bond. 10 years later, they came out with Skyfall. That was the 50th anniversary. This one is a little. If we did, I think we did talk about how Skyfall sort of references itself and sort of like gets in a little bit on that. This one goes to the next level, to the point of him picking up the goddamn book that was written by James Bond, the ornithology book.
Those are the only parts of the movie I liked. Were the parts that reference Bond lore.
And the woman who played Moneypenny.
Samantha Bond.
She's a Bond.
Yeah, she sure is.
A little inside.
Well,
I will say.
So is he.
That's my James Bond quip.
Oh my God.
They're so bad.
I made a list of all of the single entendres in this movie.
Is it single entendres?
Yeah. Is it in your Die Another Date book?
Die Another Notes I did in honor of.
I did Notes Another Day.
I left mine at home. They're not in this book.
Are you
really
shitting me?
But I've seen this Brosnan movie the most of any of the Brosnans.
All right. Well, listen, this movie opens like most do, surfing to North Korea.
Okay. Okay. Just like Citizen Kane. Why do they have to. The footage is amazing. It's really amazing.
Great job.
But it's. I know there's a willing suspension of disbelief. Why do they have to surf in? It would be so much more stealthy to scuba in. You're actually putting your operation at risk.
Well, you go ahead.
I was going to just add, or use those little single-person planes that they use at the end.
Yeah.
Those are great.
You mean the Switchblade?
The Switchblade.
Bar Raider can't catch him.
The thing about it is...
Madsen. I want him surfing in.
It felt like, well, the music behind this... Okay, so it opens on three dudes surfing.
Yeah.
And the music implies that this is a surf chase. Like, the music straight up implies that one of these guys is Bond. We'll never know which one. We're not getting that close. But one of them is being pursued by two, and you're going to see some crazy surf shit.
Are you
where
surf
one of
chase?
Them takes down two of them, and then they land on the beach, and they're like shaking hands about it. Like, we did a good job surfing.
And then they embrace Annette Funicello.
Right, they have a bit of a clapping. And then you'll never see those two guys again.
No, of course not.
And the rage is there. Like, why did they surf? Why didn't they stealth in?
From the jump.
But here's what we know about North Korea. Great surfing.
Yeah.
And that's just...
It's Australia, Hawaii, and North Korea.
Right?
Everybody those are your go-to.
Kahuna is a Korean word. But then they open up the surfboards.
Yeah, they open up the surfboards.
And there's gadgets in there, and then you can't fault them for it.
That's
where the suspended disbelief comes. Oh, all of the things, these nonsense
a good transport
items.
Device.
The gadgets are C4. A knife with a transmitter in it.
And a canister of Mr. Zog's sex
lines. Yeah. But why? I'm so angry at the transmitter for having to also be a knife. Why can't that just be a transmitter?
Oh, right. I love the Dick Tracy brand C4. Did you notice that the C4 was labeled C4?
Yeah.
This is what this
is. You need to know.
They were going after Big Face, right?
Oh, no. That's another thing about this movie is while watching it the first time, I called that guy Diamond Face.
Oh, yeah. That's what he's called, right?
No. That's the thing of it. He's not called Diamond Face. Nobody in the movie calls him Diamond Face.
It's implied.
It's totally implied. That's how far they've come.
Well, when General Moon turns to him and says, my son, Diamond Face.
Given names. Huge coincidence, but given names.
They're two different guys, the son and Diamond Face.
Zhao is not Diamond. Is Diamond Face.
Is Diamond Face.
Yeah. Ricky Yu.
Sun Moon is the guy's name. Sun Moon. That's lazy.
Okay, so here's where we open up. So we open up North Korea.
Surf town.
Because we need some communist action, because James Bond's been missing communism for a while.
That's true.
So James Bond takes over the place of this guy who's bringing in diamonds to the North Koreans in exchange for hovercraft.
Just in general, though, you have to say, because when the Cold War ended and Russian communism ended and we lost our great enemy for film, and then we had to go to the second level communists, like we're either Cuba now or North Korea or China.
B-list communists.
Yeah, it really is, because they're also – this just doesn't feel that –
It's like your town doesn't have a TJ Maxx. You're forced to go to Ross.
Yeah.
It felt like throughout the movie also, to me, that –
To everyone, whatever you say is
for sure.
I am
consider it's for the general
populace. For you people, but it's the political statement of a guy who doesn't follow politics. You know, like there was the when they get to Cuba and there's like all the women knitting and
like they're making cigars
and like the statement about landmines and how America's responsible for the like it all felt like. yeah, we're scoring some points here. I don't really read the news, but it's been explained to me.
America's gift, 1 million landmines, and our hovercrafts just float over them. But James, before that...
Did you just play a clip from the movie?
I sure did. It's all in my head. But before that, James says, bit of a minefield out there.
Oh.
Not even a pun.
Nah, that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. It's a
reverse
full of that.
Pun.
It's full of that.
Yeah. They're not even single entendres. They're half entendres. Yeah.
Oh, no. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they are just like, here's a thing that sounds dirty.
Yeah.
Dicks and boobs, he says at one point.
Your vagina's in my eyesight.
But here's
that's
here's
her name also.
Lee
vagina eyesight. The best Bond girl.
She keeps saying I'm up here.
Lee Tamahori.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible
director.
Tamahori. He did Once Were Warriors.
Yeah.
Which
bad
is
movie.
Something we
the
were
worst
all
Bond
forced
movie.
To watch in film school.
He also did a stint in prison for soliciting sex as a woman, right?
From a police detective.
Yeah.
I liked The Edge.
Way to do
but
it.
I also liked this movie at one point. So
yeah,
I was young and dumb.
If you watch that again.
He did Along Came a Spider, The Edge, the Alec Baldwin
we were talking about
Tour de Force.
Mammoth wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
Mulholland Falls.
Mammoth didn't write that. You're thinking of Mulholland Avenue. Mulholland Drive?
Mulholland Drive.
The street.
I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Mulholland Falls is not a good movie.
Once Were Warriors.
not good.
Triple X, State of the Union.
Which was basically a Bond movie.
Which is not.
Apology.
Which is the one where they couldn't get Vin Diesel.
Guys, I found my notes. I do have them.
Yeah!
No, I loved the movie. I didn't... Oh, my God.
But yeah, this guy has a fun fascination with the thing that Final Cut Pro could do in 2002, which was the not even Star Wars. It's the ramping. It's the speed ramping.
Yes, that's right. It
which
does.
Is
it's so
let's
out
not
place.
Let's not over undercorrect the camera so we don't get any more footage. We'll just slow it down and make it look choppy.
Yeah, this movie could have been a half hour long.
They would have needed more plot.
Before we get too far ahead, I want to talk about that very beginning, the gun barrel sequence, because this is the first time ever that when Bond fires in the gun barrel graphic, the bullet comes out of his gun and goes into the barrel of the gun of the person. And have you noticed that? This is the first time a bullet comes out of his gun. There's a CG bullet that flies into the gun barrel.
I really liked that.
Oh, you did?
No, when I was a kid.
Oh, well.
Well, when I was
Wait, what happened
20.
To this gun?
Was this in 3D?
No.
It comes out of the barrel into somebody
like that,
else's
well, normally
barrel,
in every
pooping
yeah.
in each other's butts forever.
Basically, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're also now taking the opinion of it is okay for us to see blood drip through a gun barrel.
It doesn't make
sense either
I know,
way.
But it just feels a little like, come on.
There was an element of this credit sequence. That's what we're calling them, credit sequence?
Pre-credit
sequence,
yeah.
Well, the title sequence?
Well,
the cold open?
Are we talking about the...
We're calling it the cold open.
We're still in the cold open. Yeah, we're not talking about the title sequence yet.
We're going to get to that very shortly.
All right, let me know.
We have to first discuss that he says, saved by the bell after literally being saved by a bell.
Yeah.
I felt like I watched the documentary about the writing of the script.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Was Yakety Sax playing the whole time? It was just two people typing and Yakety
Sax. And these two dudes, Purvis and who's the other one?
Wade.
Purvis and Wade.
Yes.
Were so pleased with themselves getting to do this. And I could only see them like after the camera or something edited out with Purvis going, yes, obviously high-fiving, but then going like, you know what? If he grabs a bell at the end of the sequence, you know what we can put in.
This is why we wanted you two on there as a writing partner, because Matt and I have this theory that because Purvis and Wade have been writing these for a while, but when they get good in the Craig era, there's a third person like your Paul Haggis or your John Logan involved, and we're thinking it's got to be them, right? I mean, if you're listening, Purvis or Wade,
I agree, but I think also. It seems like in the Daniel Craig ones, there's a little more. There's someone steering the ship a little more strongly.
Yeah, sure. And
whether it's the director or the producers have taken more of a hand to give it a cohesion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think even they knew they were going for something more realistic. But but still, like I want to think that those Skyfall plot problems are theirs, and that we're because they're not on the next film.
That's
it's
right.
just John Logan, and that we're gonna see something a little bit more coherent or something.
There's a part in this pre-credit sequence. Yeah. Where James Bond takes sunglasses off a guy and puts them on himself.
That's right.
And that is his disguise.
with these single entendres and literal, like, Saved by the Bell, it's like he's an like a simpleton. Oh. He's just saying what he's seeing.
Helicopter.
Every scene Run. Feels born in the moment.
Like, diamond explosion.
Like, I just walked in. And I exist starting now until then.
But it kind of was. If you watch that documentary, which I highly recommend.
Why do I not know about that?
It's on the Blu-ray.
It's probably on the Blu-ray, oh, and yeah. neither of us have bothered.
Yeah.
I bought it. It was $7.99 at Amoeba.
I paid more than that for the iTunes
you
download.
You guys, you deserve a
did our homework.
I love that you didn't press it.
But on the documentary,
there was no time.
Ben, you're right. Like, that's how every action scene was written. Mm. It was like,
but not just action scenes.
We'll have an action scene here, and then the stunt director would go to the site and be like, "All right, here's the stuff we have.
Yeah.
Here's the land we yeah. have, and we have these hovercrafts. So I guess here's what we'll do."
By the way, yeah. notoriously, yeah. hovercrafts not very maneuverable
and slow,
yeah. slow as shit. You're watching guys chase each other with fans,
at 2 miles an hour. Yeah. yeah,
it's just fans powering
the
them.
Whole. That whole pre-credit sequence did not feel like a Bond opening to me. Am I wrong to say that?
No. Well, we talked about this too with Thunderball. That with it felt like we have a scuba mask, we have a jet pack, we have this stuff. Let's write around that. It's like an episode of the show Chopped, where you're given a certain ingredients, and that's it's reverse engineering of a story, and it's the worst way to go. That let me quickly say too, we have no proof that this is Purvis and Wade's fault necessarily. So if,
right, it could be the prop guy.
If Purvis and Wade would like to come on, we'll gladly have you.
And
here.
We're sorry. I mean, we're not above groveling.
Yeah. I'll tell you how great you are. Johnny English was fantastic.
He couldn't even
stick
the landing on it. It felt like to me, like when so James Bond, if you haven't seen it, James Bond has the disguise of sunglasses, mm-hmm. and then
was there a mustache attached to the sunglasses?
No, they were somebody else's sunglasses. It was like you'll know me by my Oakleys, and he goes up to Moon, who's the villain of the piece,
uh-huh.
and introduces himself as a Dutchman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Moon surreptitiously takes his picture with the biggest camera you've ever seen, scans it, sends it, gets back. This is not whatever the fake name is. This is James Bond.
Right.
It felt like it, beginning there, like he's the worst
Bond ever.
Worst covert spy. But that's like there's been hay made of that kind of thing in spoofs mm-hmm. forever, and it felt like they were trying and failing to reappropriate the tropes from the spoofs.
Yeah, like you can't have those are ours.
Yeah, yeah. Like we know
Jennifer Garner did better spy work in a blue wig.
Don't you talk about Alias like that. I've never
she
seen
did.
It. I don't know
what you'd love it.
Would
oh
I?
My god,
yeah.
it's like better James Bond.
It's a great spy movie every week.
Yeah,
for three seasons
for
or
three
two
seasons,
seasons one yeah. fewer than they made
lens yeah. flares. Are there lens flares?
We don't understand remembers. Your references.
let me grab this for a second. I just want to quickly.
Let me also say that I like Brosnan. He seems as a person, he seems really great. As an actor, he's generally I like him quite a bit. As Bond, I'm not really.
No, yeah. It was weird. He was
I disagree with.
I think he was giving a TV performance.
I agree.
Oh.
In all of these,
I think he was. I honestly think he was frustrated with what was going on with the script.
Well, can I say too that there is another YouTube documentary that has been going around again recently where he's interviewed right at the beginning of this movie and he says, "quote excited that this is going to be a character piece and that this is really going to get back to basics." And
I look forward to giving my most perfunctory performance in the history of the world. Like this, it's felt a lot like, where are my marks?
Mm-hmm.
I am on them.
It felt like he was in a multicam sitcom.
Yeah. Like in his defense, he was.
And in this documentary, they talk about how the Broccolis always make it a character piece, and that is their strength as producers. They always bring it back to character.
Yeah.
Clearly, this was made way before the movie.
By the way, he comes out of the North Korean prison for a year looking fatter than when he went in. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're giving
Korean barbecue.
It's true.
It's fatty.
I mean, he probably just rice paper all the time.
Oh, yeah, when he comes out as James Beard.
I'm awarding this to you.
Too soon.
The finest chef. Okay. So here's what happens, essentially, if you're following along and haven't seen the movie in a while. Bond is in North Korea trying to stop these guys from selling weapons to somebody.
Uranium-powered weapons.
Yeah, depleted uranium shells, which is that's the best stuff. Also the heaviest.
Was it for a time machine?
That's real, though. Just so you guys know.
Thanks. That's
real. Well, we're making fun of it anyway.
Okay. Well, we gotta draw the line somewhere.
So is North.
We can't do it.
North Korea is also real.
No, it's not. There's a Northwest Korea. People usually have it wrong.
I fly Northwest Korea. So he gets captured and is in prison for quite a while, and then a torture scene happens under the wonderful
this
bedding.
This is the first time we ever get a story element to the title.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say about it.
Yeah.
They imply scorpion torture.
Right.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Like, scorpion, and that's a big motif, too.
Yeah,
for,
and
just for the sequel.
Just for
enough
the sequel.
For Moby. Is it who's the guy that works with Madonna on this song?
David Arnold?
No.
Oh.
I thought it was. No?
No.
Oh, he does the score.
It's,
for the movie.
Is it Moby? Who?
Can I get a little volume over here on the... Now...
Really? Again?
We need to... Rosamund Pike, by the way, I think she's...
Oh, she's great.
Delightful.
Oh, yeah, she's...
World's End, she was in.
Yeah, she's in the World's End, yeah.
But she's always
spaced. I mean, she's great in space.
I think she's the best thing about this movie, to be honest.
She is in... She's in space.
He asserted it. It's true.
I will IMDb, so I'm not wrong.
I don't think
she's... And then I'll find out I'm wrong.
But she's always good, and maybe one of the better.
Well, then fine.
Bond
she's
girls,
great too. In Shaun of the Dead when she shows up, also being with that group of other friends that are just
that's
like
not,
that. Is yes,
no,
it's not. That's
don't
not.
Fuck with my head.
Just say yes, so we can move on.
Does he think she's Jessica Hines?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do I?
No, she's great.
Do I think she's Jessica Hines?
Yeah.
I can't tell British people apart.
You think she's Chrissy Hines?
It's like yes, I think she's Chrissy Hines.
She wrote the song with producer Mirwaz Ahmadzai with French composer Michel Colombier.
Oh, those were the villains in the movie.
Yeah. Wow. I thought it was like Orbit or something.
Orbit, like the gum?
I don't know. What am I, a rat
Orbital
guy?
Is what you're thinking.
I'm not a rat
Orbital
guy.
Orbital.
The gum.
Yeah.
Okay.
In any event, I think we can all agree that it's a bad song. Even as Madonna songs go.
That's what I'm thinking of. She's in Johnny English Reborn.
For me, it's the worst.
She is in Johnny English Reborn, and I'm not thinking about it instead of space.
You
I just
totally won.
Thank you?
Yeah.
It's my podcast. Watch out.
For me, it's the worst Bond song there is, and that's including Never Say Never Again, which even in the movie has
not
like a tape warble to it, like it's been played off a cassette.
And it's coming after the Garbage song.
Yeah.
Which I really like.
Yeah.
The World Is Not Enough. I think it's a really good song.
I like
song.
How tepid it is. Like,
yeah.
Like, just not in performance, but in sentiment. Like
this song? Mm-hmm.
This
song. The whole thing is so watered down.
Like a James Bond, like, Goldfinger is going to mess you up.
Yeah,
like,
it's grandiose.
Live and let die. This is right. Like, I'm not going to die today. I'll die another day.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. I'm not putting it off. Super long time.
I can't die today because today I'm singing a really laconic song.
Yeah, it's just letting you know that not today, guys. Today. He's not dying today.
Tomorrow?
There are no stakes. There are no stakes here.
No.
He's not dying today. So he gets tortured by that lovely Korean lady that he
who
probably
we never
fucks.
See again, right?
He probably
her name's
her.
Jill.
Trad Korean name.
Then he's exchanged for Diamond Face.
Okay, huge question here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, the Koreans are sending over their British prisoner, and the British/Americans are sending over their prisoner. You don't want to keep the diamonds?
From his face?
You don't want to take the diamonds out of his face?
He would die.
No, they're not on any major
I thought
arteries.
He was
no,
in
I
a...
think they're actually keeping something from his... It's like an arc reactor. Really.
Well, no.
They're like tiny arc reactors in his face that's keeping shrapnel from moving to his heart.
Then when he's getting DNA replacement therapy, you don't want to take the most significant thing about your appearance out.
What you don't know about DNA replacement therapy could fill a book.
I just don't... I want to hear this scene real quick. This is the let's scan James Bond with lasers. And
Scorpion.
Pulse 72, blood pressure 120 over 80.
Standard laser information.
Yeah. Histamine, serotonin, and enzyme inhibitors. Scorpion venom. Note also traces of a venom anti-serum.
Two doctors it's talking to each other.
No, that's the,
then they have to explain.
His internal organs.
That's the robot.
Oh, is it?
It's the laser robot. There's no doctors in this room.
Definitely him then.
Liver not too good, guys.
That whole thing was for that.
That
reason.
Whole thing.
That
exactly.
whole thing was get it. He drinks you. Guys.
Yeah.
But also, I'd like to point out as a writer. You brought us here as writers.
Uh-huh.
As a writer, the idea that what is James Bond have to do in the crossroads of the soul that is being tortured throughout a credit sequence? What does he have to do to get out, like as a character? Nothing. He just got traded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that's... Also, it was very unclear to me, and I know this is probably just me. I don't know why they were torturing him. It seemed like they wanted to know who... No, it wouldn't be that. I have no idea.
Yeah, I think they just wanted general, whole, everything was general information.
Well, guys, general information. But also, his name. General Moon's new. This is general information.
But he also kept
I'll
saying,
tell you why they tortured him.
Yes.
Because the guy that he killed in the hovercraft chase was the son, like that was the...
General Moon.
General Moon, but his father outranked him by one.
Right.
Colonel Moon.
Sure.
Or whatever. And so that's the guy that caught him, and so they're torturing him because he killed his son.
It's personal. You're all wrong.
Yeah.
And the real reason is in the dialogue, and he wants to know...
Is there dialogue in this?
The guy just wants... General Moon wants... Or Colonel... Whichever is the highest ranking Moon wants to know Full Moon wants to know who Half Moon's ally in the West was.
Right, that's what I thought. But don't they already know? Because it's
their ally too.
Yeah,
no.
There was a lot of
because he was going rogue.
Spoiler: there was a lot of Half Moon acting on his own.
Like yeah,
he launched a satellite.
Yeah. That's why that's why Full Moon is pissed and wants to know this stuff.
Yeah, Half Moon somehow got away with launching a satellite in North Korea with no one else noticing. Yeah.
And not just easy any satellite, a real genius satellite.
Yeah, easy enough when North Korea is real successful at rocket missions, too.
Well, this is before when they were.
Also, that kind of stuff and then this whole weird, like, Prometheus-style medical bay, the whole thing feels so weirdly sci-fi in a terrible way.
Oh, yeah.
His robot suit at the end.
This whole
he should have gone for a full Iron Man suit.
Yeah, the Nintendo controller thing that he had.
Oh yeah. The real sensible, like, let's not shoot a person. Let's electrocute him kinda.
With Star Wars Emperor style electrocution.
No, it was very mid-80s. It was Ghostbusters, Star Wars, like that era.
All of
special
this
effect,
we're saying.
But it was 2001.
This is the scene where Pierce Brosnan doesn't try at all. So much so that he doesn't even try to be British. He just lets his Irish accent fly.
Which scene? Is this the medical bit?
Talking
the
to...
The whole movie.
Oh, I thought he was supposed to be an Irish Bond.
No.
I'm not even kidding.
No, here. This is a lovely Dame Judi Dench and
I
Pierce.
Never asked to be traded.
Yeah.
This is Irish.
I'd rather die in prison than let him loose.
You made your sign.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Wait for him to yell.
The top American agent in the North Korean high command was executed a week ago. The Americans intercepted a signal from your prison naming him.
And they think it's me.
You were the only inmate.
For the home viewer.
They concluded you cracked under torture.
When he says me, he points at himself. We had to get you out. And when he says you, he points at her. It's the best act.
How would you know otherwise?
I still don't understand.
And what do you think?
Then he points some more.
When does he point at the audience?
Oh, he's pointing at them right now.
No, when he said, "What do you think?" he actually waved his hands at the screen. What?
Let me explain to you. You wouldn't know
what you did or didn't say. What's the time code so that he wants to point?
24, about 24
number
minutes
one
in.
Number one is no deals. Get caught and you're given up.
Yeah.
It's not... He's not even trying.
I really, really, because I have not seen any other Brosno Bonds. I really, really thought he was supposed to be Irish.
Big point.
His father knew about it.
His father.
Whether that's true or not, it's irrelevant.
No, it isn't.
It's a giraffe.
The same person who set me up then has just set me up again to get Zhao out. So I'm going after him.
The only place you're going is our evaluation center in the Falklands.
Do you want to just watch?
What are my lucky charms there?
With my freedom.
You're missing some more pointing.
There's a lot of pointing in this scene. My problem with this when this movie came out was that he has to go rogue, and I'm not
again,
a huge fan of James Bond going rogue.
It's too many in a row.
I really just want James Bond to go do something.
When did he go rogue prior to this?
World is not enough. He goes rogue. Well, I'm going right before this. World is not enough. He goes rogue.
Right after this.
I only know the song.
Yeah, but right before this and right
doesn't
after
he say in this movie that going rogue is part of the job?
I hope not.
He goes rogue in all three Daniel Craig movies.
Yep. Yeah, but I believe that guy going rogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't be contained.
That's right.
Goes rogue in the nicest of suits.
Yeah, he's... So here's the thing. Bond now has to escape this sort of prison.
Just hold on.
He Batmans it.
Oh,
yes.
He fakes a heart attack?
This is where I
had
this...
Oh, he slows his pulse to nothing.
I had a storybook record when I was a kid where Batman would slow his pulse and make people think he was dead. And now I feel like since that happened in all sorts of popular culture, it's just a given that you can do that. You can't do it. Oh. You can't
but the,
do even
the point
James
of this
Bond.
Movie is that anything that comes along is something he can do.
Jesus Christ.
I just did it.
I did it to get through
also,
this movie.
Right after he tricks everybody into thinking he's dying, he shocks the doctors, but waits for mouth-to-mouth from the nurse, and then says, thanks for the kiss of life.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah.
isn't a phrase.
No. Well, there's quite a bit of that.
Let's take a look at when Purvis and Reid were writing this, and they're like, are they going like, this'll do? Or they're like, yeah.
No, I think they're like, nailed it.
I heard you could do that. That's right. Yeah. Why haven't we used that?
What should we have him say? Thanks for putting your mouth on my mouth.
That's good, but...
We can top it. We can top it.
You know that common phrase? Thanks for giving me the kiss of life.
Ah, yes, the kiss of life!
I know it, but we'll...
Don't talk so fast. I can't write it all as we go.
Is it too ubiquitous?
They haven't given us computers.
So, what's the line? Fuck you, kiss of life, or... I don't understand. What's the...
Thanks for fetching me awake.
Also, like... Yes! He just wants to get out of this place, right?
Yeah,
and he's James Bond, and he just needs to get by some doctors.
But this is...
couldn't he just kind of push past them?
These doctors are trained spies.
Are they also licensed to kill?
Stopping well, your own, stopping
they
your
can't.
Own heart.
The Hippocratic Oath. They're not allowed to.
They're licensed to.
First,
they
do
don't.
No harm, but also kill.
Stopping your own heart is akin to the karate chop on the shoulder. Right. That doesn't exist either, really. You know, the one that
says
knocks
you.
People out.
This is a real MythBusters
out.
Episode.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
He then, I'm not 100% sure he knows where he is. He probably has a good idea that I'm probably in Hong Kong Bay.
I don't know where he is.
But there will be a sign in English about it in 2 minutes.
There will be, yes.
I kind of like this part.
I thought he swam
Whoa.
From London yeah. to Hong Kong. Because by this point in the movie, I was ready to believe anything.
Yeah, sure. Well, he surfed most of the way.
Right.
They just didn't bother showing
I found
him.
A note. Can we drop this
yes,
in?
Yes, go.
The Saved by the Bell line,
uh-huh.
he said that only to himself.
Oh, yeah.
There was nobody
Jesus.
Else in the scene.
Oh, I don't. That's very much in character of James Bond.
That's
though.
When he pointed
he
to the audience.
Only says things to himself.
Like, that was for nobody's benefit.
Okay, so he leaves the naval ship and swims to the Hong Kong Yacht Club.
There's something I like about this sequence.
In pajamas.
Yeah.
But then when he gets out of the water, he doesn't even. I think that he should just button up. Just button
yeah,
up.
That, yeah.
You get like less of a crazy look.
Yeah.
You know.
As of the Dench scene,
yeah.
according to my notes,
mm-hmm.
we're 23 minutes in.
Correct.
And we don't know what anybody wants or why.
No. Which will continue for the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
You are 100% correct. I like this scene,
yeah.
too. I like the idea that James Bond has this relationship with the Hong Kong Yacht
yeah,
Club.
Yeah, if you're going to go cartoon James Bond.
Walk in and...
And it breaks the mirror and the...
Yeah. yeah.
The butler in the hotel
mm-hmm.
and the general's son, Moon.
Yep.
Both in their subtitles had ellipses. Like they talked at a full clip, but in their subtitles, it was very dramatic. I don't think I've seen ellipses in subtitles before.
Oh.
You're not. That's the only way you'll understand this movie
Matt,
is if they really spill everything out for you. Yes,
I think the reason we like this scene is because it's like Roger Moore era stuff, where he's Bond as a celebrity in the crime world, and like people know who he is. You know?
Yeah, I like the idea too of him just having had a past
mm-hmm. That you haven't seen that mission, and
yeah, and having had some good credibility built up amongst you know whoever's
yeah.
there.
But I will say, and this goes back to Ben's point about, Woo. Like, anything, any obstacle that comes up, even something as small as being able to check into this hotel and having no belongings, there's no problem with it. It
yeah,
turns out to
true.
Not be
Right
an
away,
obstacle.
Mr. Bond.
Yeah, he's never behind the eight ball through this
right.
whole movie.
Right.
You never get a
the
sense of...
The stakes are never
yeah.
raised. Mm. There is... I don't know if you've ever spoken about product placement.
Oh, yeah.
We have, yeah. And this movie...
There's no way you get that close a shave from an electric razor.
No, I agree.
I bought that Norelco.
I agree.
Yeah.
When that movie
fact,
came out.
I bet I have
the
that.
The Dying of the
I'm
Day edition
James Bond's
Norelco.
they
don't play
look,
the theme.
Look at that. This, this movie...
It fucking should have.
Electric razor in my notes.
This
Bond
movie...
doesn't shave with an electric razor. He shaves
That's true.
A straight
with
razor.
A straight razor
right
and like a regular razor on a bad day, you know?
And also a gun.
Yeah, yeah, he shoots every bullet.
He actually shoots each hair up.
He takes a length of rope and strangles the hair.
He does the equivalent of eyebrow threading. But
yeah, but this
one
we immediately see the placement of the Brioni. I love that the shirts are still in the bags with the tags on them.
Yeah. Well, this movie got a lot of flack for having so much product placement.
Yeah. This movie, in case you're wondering, this is the time when Ford owned Jaguar, Land Rover, and Aston Martin.
Wow.
Which is why you see a Thunderbird, a Land Rover, a Jaguar, and an Aston Martin in this movie.
Jesus.
Yeah, there was, I think it was Roger Ebert or some like big critic was like, this the whole thing is just like a lot of commercials. And he's always had product placement.
Yeah, but this took it to the next level. And
there was a line, Hong Kong is Chinese intelligence turf. Like that was a new thing.
This is our turf, Bond. Well, it was because was it two years before this?
No,
that Hong Kong was turned back over to the Chinese authorities.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
And they had to explain it to Americans.
Yeah,
you didn't watch
and
the ceremony
to a British secret agent who wouldn't be up on politics.
But their plan, that's the thing. Everybody's plan in this was dumb as dirt. Their plan, they're in his room, they're watching him through a mirror. Yes. What assumes they're armed?
they're armed with a camera.
And their plan is to get a masseuse.
Here's the fun.
Not just shoot him from the wall where they are.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen.
So they want him dead.
Fun Chinese character actor.
And what
and,
is the gun?
Here it is.
I think just for protection. He's an agent.
You think I haven't always known your Chinese intelligence, Chang?
Hong Kong's our turf now, Bond.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it. I'm not here to take it back.
I love how quickly Chang turns and goes, hey, what's going on?
His delivery in here is how it is through the whole movie, where he's just like, well, I guess you always knew. Like, he's barely there. Yeah.
If you watch this, there's a look that he gives that I have no idea what is going through
Bond?
Pierce Brosnan's head, but there's a look he gives at the end after they've walked out where he just seems sad to not have friends.
Podcast, right?
Like, what is that? That's it. It's at 30:27.
This is the problem with Brosnan. He wants it both ways. And when he wants to do campy one-liners that are right on the nose, he delivers them campy. And then he wants to be really serious with the drama. And then especially when he gets hurt, he does that, like, really intense hurt acting.
The smolder.
Yeah, the smolder.
It's soap opera acting.
It's really – it's what doesn't work about these movies. At least Roger Moore always stayed to the campsite. In fact, we're going to find out when we get to For Your Eyes Only, which I know is a favorite of many people. It doesn't work for me in a way because Roger Moore, it's hard to see him in that real sense.
After For Your Eyes Only, are you guys going to go to like the Jimmy Bond cartoon?
People have asked us as though they're the fans of it to go to the James Bond Jr. cartoon, which I have no desire to.
There's a lot of tertiary material.
Oh, sure. In fact,
some you'll do Flint, right?
Stretch this out. Absolutely.
Oh, we should do in like Flint. Yeah.
And then
Austin
like
Powers.
The Great Outdoors and just the movies of Dan Aykroyd.
Maverick, probably.
The People versus Larry Flint.
Every number seven of any of
every
any
seventh
film
movie,
series.
Star Trek Generations. Yeah.
Then just merge this with Doug Loves Movies.
Yes, perfect.
Speaking
or how did this get made?
Over.
This is always how did this get made.
Speaking of the comics, I just want to say a quick thank you to Patrick Guascino, who sent us these.
The James Bond omnibus.
Hold them up to the camera, Matt.
Yeah, here we go. I'm holding them up to the mic.
They sound great.
Yeah, that one was that was the strip in Goldfinger. But he sent us these omnibuses of the comics, and they're fantastic. So thank you very much, and we're gonna pass them around and all swap them. And
can I color them in?
Yeah, that's what they're.
Should
for.
We sign them and send them back?
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to send us stuff, Ben and I need some stuff.
Yeah,
send them stuff.
James Bond or otherwise. Well, we have several podcasts between us.
Meltdown's address. They'll get it.
We have an Amazon bridal registry where we... I really need like a wooden salad bowl.
Mm-hmm. I need a baby Bjorn.
Oh, do you?
No. I just need an infant and a Bjork CD. Okay, so he goes
Bjork,
to Cuba.
Has Bjork done a Bond theme? She should.
No, she should. I would be
great. Yeah.
Don't shoot me because I'm small. I hide in a hut and my boat is a butterfly.
Myra's impression of Bjork is perfect.
Wait a minute.
What?
Was that Bjork doing Zelda Rubinstein?
I'm gonna die another day. Carolyn, don't go to the light. I'm Zelda Rubinstein and Julie Haggerty. Bjork and H.R. Giger.
Yeah, is Bjork Zelda Rubinstein plus H.R.
Giger? Oh, yeah, there's a spectrum. It starts with Zelda Rubinstein and ends on Giger.
This was my favorite Michael Jackson video.
It goes like, yes. It goes like this.
It doesn't matter, Carolyn, if you're black or white. Oh, please don't eat the fish. I'm Julie Haggerty. I have to wear a swan dress to do poetry, and I am H.R. Giger.
There it is.
If you don't win a Tony for podcasting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you listening, shorties? Webbies?
Shorties. Are there awards?
I don't know. Isn't there a shorty award or something?
Yeah. What is that?
Shorties, Webbies, Geekies.
Shorties watching Absolutely. Shorties on Comedy Central.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, bring it back.
See the fun that can happen when a cartoon infant Janine Garofalo watches her bit on coffee?
Was that what it was? That's right.
Shorty's watching Shorty's.
How did that get made? There's another podcast.
You guys do have a lot of podcast advertising on your podcast.
Well, we do.
I try to do it as much as possible.
Speaking of that, the Nerdist Writers Panel is hosted by Ben Blacker in this very room, which is, no joke, a fantastic podcast.
And a great room.
It's a great room. Yeah. I thought he was going to compliment the room.
It's good. No joke.
Room.
It's a little warm. But
where I told Gorley this, I'm trying to get a Bond writer for it.
Yes.
We'll get you guys on.
I told you that.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm on it. Yeah. I'll be here. Oh, I won't leave.
I hope you don't get deported
until then. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I'm going to be in here in just a reverse hammock, just hovering above the mic in a weird sling.
What's a reverse hammock? I don't
know. Go to Target, dum-dum.
I don't know what. I have no
it's
idea.
It's a tent.
What
that a reverse
was.
Hammock is a tent.
There was no, it's like a hang gliding suit.
Yes.
But attached to the ceiling.
Speaking of hang gliders.
In my head. Oh, yeah.
This movie loves parachutes and hang gliders. Mm.
Guys, we should get back to the movie. This is okay.
We'll
so
be right back.
We are right now, but right now we are in the 9.5 minutes of this movie that I enjoy and find watchable.
Okay,
and that
can we
is,
skip it?
And that starts when
with the binoculars.
That starts with him getting to the yacht club, and it ends with him encountering Halle Berry. That's the second I stop.
You know you're wrong, right?
Yeah.
About what?
That whole chunk and this whole movie.
I like the idea of him activating a sleeper agent in Cuba that has been dormant for God knows how long. I did like that
when he comes
I like
into
that
the...
It felt
like,
that was cool.
Directados?
Something felt like, oh, we're seeing Bond in a new environment. Mm-hmm. To me, that I realized, well, I haven't seen all them Bonds.
Right. Is this when he's walking
he's
through Cuba?
He's here all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so when he's first walking through Cuba in his like spy casual shirt, and behind him as the camera tracks is like the most Coca-Cola commercial version of Cuba ever, mm-hmm. where like people playing
it's like
Spanish
Epcot.
Guitars. Yeah. That I just that drives me a little crazy. Like it does feel like theme park Cuba or something.
Well, it's also shot in Spain.
But I do
that's
like
what Cuba was like.
Was it?
For all sure. you know. Oh,
in 2002?
Just that one year, they really embraced the world's perception of them.
Cuba was a lot like the Grove.
Cuba actually is now owned by the Caruso family.
If you don't know who that is, listeners, neither do I.
They are the building developer and owner of the Americana and the Grove.
I go there all the time.
Well, there you go.
Because I live near it.
I love their work.
when Halle Berry comes out of the water.
Wait, we're not there.
We're not there yet.
Oh, can we please get there already?
Right now we're in Cuba.
What are you, the movie?
Okay.
Right now we're in Cuba. And everybody, I want you all at home to take a look at the movie and just look at the sleeper agent's desk of antiquities.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is he doing up there?
Of antiquities.
A lot of Civil War
I'd
stuff.
Like to...
He's got a cannon
can you
pointed
please...
at Brosnan's
That's
face.
A working cannon.
Can you please get my ink blotter? I want to look at it. I will put it next to my ivory handled pistol.
Bring all my tchotchkes. Just lay them out on it.
It is nice to see him have like a Columbo or a Karen Bay.
Another
kind
older
mentor.
Kind of a Mathis.
Yes.
Who's Karen Bay?
These are these figures that pop up regularly in the Bond, like some older agent or head of section that kind of helps them out in some way. Not a mentor exactly, but just kind of a...
Just the guy who knows the area better than Bond does. Mm-hmm. So here we are in Cuba. He is now... Wait, what is he doing? How does he get to Cuba? He now knows that... He now knows... We'll just speed this. He now knows that we He has to go to Cuba because Zhao's there. That's all he knows. He doesn't know why Zhao's there.
Let's not even
like
bother with the plot. I mean, honestly.
What are we well, them?
Yes.
What are we them?
Exactly.
All right, let's take this.
That trip to Cuba, though it is cool, it really is like a sidestep, right?
Yeah.
Well,
it's Bruce Wayne going to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like they're going, we know we're in Iceland, let's put a tropical place in.
Here's what
it is.
It's
reverse engineering again.
All it does is plant a nugget for James Bond to later figure out that Gustav Graves is Moon.
Yeah, but it could be anywhere.
Right.
But also, that's the stupidest thing in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is.
Well,
and this movie's really stupid. But
guys, we have to talk about...
Stupider than an ice palace.
We have to talk about what my least favorite performance in the history of James Bond.
Oh,
is Halle Berry's performance in this movie?
Really?
I would take Denise Richards over this any day of the week.
I couldn't go that far when pressed.
There is no
the first scene with the two of them together talking feels like the first actual scene in this movie.
Yeah,
like
what?
It feels like that's where the movie starts.
It's where it starts. It's also like, this is a scene where two characters want things. Mm-hmm. They're saying things
to each other. If you have it in your head,
and it feels like
fact,
it's translated from Italian.
But the producers only want to, if you're reading subtitles from an Italian movie. The producers wanted to spin this off into a Jax movie.
You could tell.
Yeah. Jinx, whatever the fuck her name is.
That was a big deal.
Yes, I watched this movie. I had heard that rumor. I watched this movie with a friend of ours who was with the NSA at the
time. That's
right. What?
And I said, do you think they'll spin this off into an NSA? And she said, no. We don't want any credit. We don't want to be in the public eye at all. My boss would never, like, they have chats about it.
Like, they could stop them, you mean? Like, they were going to...
Like, it just...
They'd blow them up.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It would Halle Berry's dead. Accident.
Well, they'd
you know, Jason Lee. No, that's not it. What's his name? What's my reference?
That's it, the crow?
Bruce Lee's son.
Yeah.
No, that's Jason Lee's from Mallrats.
Oh, Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
Brandon.
There.
Yeah, well, we were with you. Yeah. So, hey, they play Moonraker music when she comes out of the water. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Okay.
They did you notice that he offers her...
They put her in Ursula Andress's bathing suit.
He offers her a mojito after he drinks out of it.
Oh, hold
which
on.
Which is gross.
Hold so on. Weird.
That you got problems with the Irish accent. I got problems with the way this guy says mojito.
Oh, it's like how my mother says fajitas.
Well, she goes, you want a mojito?
Oh, then it's not like that.
James Bond.
Not Bond James Bond, right there.
I know, right? Yeah.
Born on Friday the 13th.
Like,
what the fuck?
Do you believe in bad luck?
Beep boop boop.
Let's just say our relationships don't seem to last.
We don't know what that means. We've never met her before.
Oh, also there's a callback to that, which I didn't realize was a callback.
Right.
Because it comes an hour and a half later.
Right.
And why is that?
It's when their prey comes out to drink.
That's not a thing.
Too strong for you?
When he...
I can learn to like it, if I have the time.
How much time have you got?
Until dawn.
Get it?
What about you?
Oh, I'm just here for the birds.
That means women.
Ornithologist.
Also the jerk chicken.
Here we go. Look at his
dick.
Ornithologist,
huh? Wow.
Yeah, she was interesting.
I'm really into seagulls.
There's so much air in their conversation. This should go at such a faster clip. It's like it was directed by someone who doesn't speak English.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no,
it was.
Like
he's from New Zealand.
Parody.
Yeah.
Good point. It felt like that Kids in the Hall parody of Italian sex.
Yeah.
Is Francesca Fiori?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Is this is the Bond film with zero connection to anything Fleming. I think this is the only one where there isn't a single Fleming thing in there that I can think of, except for like the Bond book.
The book that he had on his shelf.
Yeah, because even The World Is Not Enough is Bond's family motto. At least the title comes from something.
Yeah. But here we have the most graphic, only time in the history of the bonding up to this point that James Bond is actually shown in the middle of sex.
Climaxing. Yeah.
First time.
Yeah.
And during... She produces. She's naked.
Yep.
She produces a knife
and
a piece of fruit.
Yes.
She's been holding the whole time.
Yeah, she sure has.
That she quarters for no reason.
I will make the argument that when Bond beds the girl too soon, we lose something for the movie. Like, his conquest is already over.
But
Same thing with the Bond girl
in the movie.
Yeah, she's so different. You know why she's different? Because in the morning when James wakes up, she's not there.
She's super
That's why it's different.
You know what my next note is? DNA replacement therapy. Jesus.
Mine is, if you have a guy in a wheelchair, you don't need a clipboard to get into anywhere you want
to
go.
Mine is, welcome to the 1978 Disney World presentation of DNA. When he walks through the
mirror. Were
they
making dinosaurs?
Dino DNA. Speed ramps, let's see.
Oh, speed ramps, the high
Zhao
dive.
Dodged a bullet.
Yeah, Zhao dodged a bullet. Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
In his pajamas.
Yeah, from like a far away, like, it's probably a bullet. Bloop.
Yeah, he dodged a bullet. He also, that action scene particularly of Halle Berry running after the helicopter is, if you showed me that and told me this is the latest Bollywood feature, I would believe it.
Yeah.
But she's running after it on roofs and is shooting people in it and hitting them. Bond is just running after it on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And barely running.
Yeah.
Like, that guy does not...
Yeah.
Well, he never goes more than
well,
a few steps
at a time.
Well,
this scene
everything
is when
at rehearsal pace.
Yeah.
This scene is when Pierce Brosnan fucked his knee up.
Oh.
You know what? It shows.
Yeah. And they had to shut down production for a while.
They should have shut it down for good.
No shit.
You guys, did you know that Madonna's in this movie?
Yeah.
We do know.
Are we coming up to that?
You know what?
Because the sword fight was really fun.
We're going to leave Cuba.
Okay, I want to say something about the plane ride when they play
London
Calling.
Did you see this one?
Oh,
yeah, what?
I looked up that song because I didn't want to be like...
Had you never heard it?
No, but I didn't want to be like, that song's probably not about Welcome to London.
Oh, right.
Turns out it's not.
No, of course not.
Which is why it was even extra ridiculous when they were using it for the Olympics.
Here is my
it's
theory.
Like Born in the USA.
I feel like they played London Calling so American audiences would get that he was coming to London.
You're not kidding. I mean, it's that
it's
simple.
It's in place of a subtitle.
But Matt, can you think of other than California Girls
and they had
you
the
to
rides.
A kill?
No, another actual popular song that ended up in the movie? No.
That was
true.
I mean, other than like the Louis Armstrong, but that was written for the movie.
Is as there? They say in fencing,
yeah.
What's the point? That's
how is that not in the movie?
That is in the movie.
Oh.
Madonna's name is Verity.
Oh. Okay, so we're before we get back to London, I just want to talk about.
We're having our own podcast.
That's
over
okay.
Here.
Don't worry about it.
Do you mind if we spin off in the middle of this?
Yeah. No.
I just want to talk about Michael Madsen for a second.
Oh, why is he in this?
Sure, just for a second.
Well, he's in this only to anchor the boss role for the next fucking Jinx movies.
Right.
That's the only reason he's in this.
Yeah.
But when Dame Judi Dench is speaking with him over video conference, if you look behind him, it's just like, what's the most American shit we can put behind him? A football player statue, a revolver, and an American flag.
And a Big Mac.
You were supposed to throw away the key, not leave the door wide open.
Are you implying I had a hand in his escape, Mr. Falco?
Well, jeez. Bond got away real fast, didn't he?
Are they Skyping? What is this?
Your boy's been very busy in his training. He showed up in Cuba and torches a clinic. Listen. You put your house in order, or we're going to do it for you.
But don't really worry about it, because I probably won't be in the next movie, because I'm an unreliable
guy. Guys, where's he going? Where's he going? But it says British Airways. I think they'd get that.
Yeah.
Americans can't read.
This martini.
Lucky I asked for a change.
Before, like in my catchphrase.
You remember my catchphrase from the 19 other movies, right?
I do like a subversion of the catchphrase or of any of the bits, actually.
A clever one or a ham-fisted one? Which do you
prefer? A ham-fisted one.
All right.
Well, the best one is in Casino Royale when he goes, I want a
bunch of
martinis.
He's
shaking her shirt. He goes, do I look like I give a damn?
That's here's my problem with... I it's such a tiny thing to pick apart for the movie, but I find
when there are much bigger things.
So much,
lower
but when Gustav, when we first meet Gustav Graves, if
you think
if they're doing their job correctly, you don't.
You mean in the opening scene?
you don't know what is his deal, and you don't know that he's a bad guy. But,
I think you know.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously.
But like
do
his
eventually.
Deal is like he's a well-known millionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's been
yeah.
in like the Olympics or something for sword fighting?
Well, he's a well-known millionaire who
he's like a Branson
not
type.
One
yeah,
person has tried to do a profile piece on
yeah,
him.
Right, he started existing a year ago.
Yeah.
Vanity Fair wasn't like, well, let's interview his parents.
This is no small nitpick, I don't think. I think that's a major.
But my big nitpick is
the core of the dumb of the movie.
Just so you know, in case you don't know that he's the bad guy, as soon as he enters the screen and parachutes out, the music becomes the bad guy. So this is the transition here. Parachute opens up.
Yeah. Joe Strummer rolls over in his grave.
Like, yeah. It's more ominous than the Imperial March.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty heavy.
Anyway, I found that to be another ridiculous moment in
Thank you for holding your mic like Eddie Vedder, though.
Even
I like Toby Stevens. I like this actor. I do like roles that. Rough.
I like there were good actors.
Toby Stevens is great. Yeah,
not well
spaced.
Actually, you know, even the Zhao and the Half Moon. Those guys are pretty decent actors.
I think Full Moon's good.
Yeah. I think all the acting, but
Diamond Face, maybe
Brosnan and Halle Berry.
Diamond Face good.
Ricky Yoon is Ricky Yoon in every movie.
What else has he been in?
Fast and the Furious.
Does he actually have diamonds in
Ruby Head?
I don't know if you've seen
Sapphire.
I don't know
lobes.
If you've seen a little movie
Empire
called
Tongue.
Olympus Has Fallen.
Nope, nobody saw it.
No.
All right, because he plays a bad North Korean in that movie.
Have we gotten to the expression, death for breakfast? Which
so
is
good.
Not an expression.
There are a lot of not expressions in
but
this.
What is Madonna? Let's talk about Madonna briefly. Her name's Verity, which means truth, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, weird.
I feel like she wrote the part herself.
Yeah, but she's like this weird conscience of the like... You know, like she has this history with Bond, but she's past that now. Like she's somehow we're supposed to believe she's this like well moderated, developed character that has morals and a conscience. Like why now and why her?
When all she does is go, that's that guy who has this name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's
it's
a
like
sword.
Maybe she was just a bit part and she's like, I have to have more.
Yeah.
But where's my character come from?
If I'm going to record the theme song of this movie. It's going to be a Madonna movie.
Oh, jeez.
Do they put the... like, Adele was not in Skyfall, but do they put the singers of the songs in the movies?
Has anybody else
Stan Lee-esque cameos?
Yeah. That may as well have been Stan Lee.
Well, Sheena Easton is in the opening title sequence, but she's not in the movie proper.
Right.
Same
with Paul McCartney.
Right. Have they done...
I don't think that is happening.
I want to say that they
didn't
have.
Didn't Paul McCartney play the villain Leather Eyes?
So the fencing plays a part in this movie. There's a big sword fight.
I like the sword
Madonna
fight because it was so
fight.
Stupid.
Yeah,
let's make a rule
and
let's follow it.
Mm-hmm.
First to draw blood from the torso.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Sure.
Now we're angry. You know. We're kill each other angry.
Well, you don't know the old-fashioned way?
I don't know.
That's
the Queensberry rules.
First to drop off the torso.
Why do I have a note that just says either?
But there was some
fast
good.
Man
there was good
man?
Action in that sword fight.
There
Although,
was.
Until I didn't think so until about halfway through, and the only thought I had before that was, well, you can't have a sword fight in a post Princess Bride world where they're just sword fighting.
Right.
That's so boring.
Yeah.
Like if he's clever and James Bond, let's have some quips here.
Mm-hmm. The coolest James Bondian thing Brosnan does throughout this in the entire movie is the kick when he kicks the fencing sword out of the way. I think that's amazing, and we should all watch it right now.
Let's do this the old-fashioned way.
Good for the
fencing,
podcast.
Yeah. Fencing swords here. They're enjoying this. Watch this kick.
And look how much. That is pretty cool.
Huh?
Are you sure this movie wasn't in 3D?
And that was digital, right? Like that's he.
Oh,
just,
it had to be.
Yeah, there's no way he kicked a sword and things happened. That guy?
Everything in this movie was digital.
This guy loves paddleboarding.
Touche.
In life. So there's a 20-minute...
Let's get to the ice palace.
20-minute
sword
fight.
I have a question for the James Bond experts.
Okay.
Why does James Bond and Q hate each other?
Well, I have this note.
I do.
They've gone from playful quarreling to just downright contempt in this movie.
Dickishness.
No,
it happened in Thunderball.
Yeah, I know
that
it
was
did,
the
but then
switch.
It goes away for a while. It does.
Oh,
it,
yeah. I mean, they do work together in For Your Eyes Only.
Well,
and stuff
in License
like
to Kill, Q comes out to help him and be his uncle.
Yeah.
And they're
I
like
assume
fast
that Bond
friends.
Slept with like his wife or something.
Well,
I
we cover that
with
in
him.
Thunderbolt. Yeah. Yeah. It's whatever is convenient to that movie. And I think when John Cleese became Q, they're just like, let's make it.
Okay.
Totally.
John Cleese is giving the performance that he would give if he was cameoing in a Muppet movie.
Right before we get to this, let's just talk about. I mean, that's every performance he's given in the last 15 years.
Please, jaded.
I love John Cleese. and doesn't I love the Muppets.
If he was here, I'd say the same thing to him.
Yeah, sure.
He needs to hear it from a friend.
Okay, so here's the I like the idea.
Thanks
of
for listening, John.
Them handing them sending a key to James Bond.
Would it kill you to leave a review on iTunes, John?
And just the I imagine the conversation back at MI6 is like, do you think he'll get it if we just send him this key? Do you think he'll know to come to this bridge?
Oh yeah.
Like they just hand him an envelope with a key in it.
I don't know. This movie.
I'm fine taking that for granted when I'm swallowing so much else.
Yeah.
Also, is this the same underground tunnel? I mean, underground MI6 area that they go to in Skyfall?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
and is this the first we've seen of it?
Well, I guess because they go to Skyfall as an emergency contingency, right. But this is just, no, this is where MI6 is now. We live in the sewers.
we cleared the Morlocks.
Yeah.
We've become Ninja Turtles.
We order a lot of pizza.
They do love surfing.
Yeah.
Check the replay.
Yeah, what was that? What was that hologram? What was that Danger Room nonsense?
Oh, you mean the fact that they now have a holodeck?
And that the only reason only is to set up that bit at the end.
It's created by Oakley.
Yeah.
I did that sequence, that like short sequence when I was watching it in the theater and didn't realize that part here. When you don't realize that they decided to fuck you and think that there's a holodeck in this world of James Bond. I thought, oh, this is really cool. They killed Moneypenny. I'm all on board.
And then he walked past it. That was the crazy mm-hmm. like when it took me, I was like, He doesn't even give a shit that Moneypenny's dead.
Well,
that's
cold. I think that's sort of what would happen if James Bond,
not
the character
Brosnan
of James Bond,
one. Not in this movie.
I don't know, but like
all
the
over the place.
Yeah, he would not pass up that chance to act.
He would pensively look off to the side, but you know, he hears gun firing. He's got to keep going.
Yeah. The Moneypenny dream sequence that comes at the end was the only part of this movie my wife saw while I was watching it yesterday, and she didn't see the end of it, so she only saw James Bond taking Moneypenny on the desk, and she was like, "Ugh, what are you watching? Does he have to do that to everyone?"
Bronson. Yeah,
he kind of does.
All right, let's move on to the invisible car and get it over with. Okay?
Which is what they said in the movie.
Yes. It's action.
Aston Martin calls it the Vanquish. We call it the Vanish.
I understand this theory that you could build something in the future that has cameras that emit light on the other side, but you can't have that on tires spinning... from every angle.
It's a little fake.
Why am I even
but like,
parsing
but
this
did you see? But practically, like, not only that, but like, it's a car.
It would not look like it looks, first of all.
The battery draw.
But there's no.
Too.
But also, cars, this isn't an electric car. This makes noise and has exhaust.
Sure. Yeah. And also, when it finally comes into use, it doesn't need to be invisible.
No.
Except for that one time.
Not, but it didn't.
But it
need
didn't.
To.
It
you
didn't
can,
need to be.
You could have just reversed and it wouldn't have been able to stop. You're absolutely right.
But like for a spy, some sort of coat and hat situation,
or cloak, if you will.
Well, I will not.
When will you?
Give me half an hour.
Right. Did you?
We'll be right back.
I'm talking to probably three people who don't ever watch Top Gear. Do you guys ever watch Top Gear?
I watch Bottom Gear.
Top Gear, they have a great special on the Bond cars.
Is this car on it?
And they do.
It's not great.
They do this. They build a car and they put video screens on either side with cameras pointing out, and then they drive it down the street. And it looks silly.
Oh, I gotta see this.
It looks almost like. Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Didn't they use that in a car ad also? Like, didn't I see that somewhere?
But
I don't know.
It relies on knowing what angle the viewer is looking at it. And so if you're looking at it at even slightly a diagonal, it doesn't have a way to perceive that you're looking at it.
And why doesn't it pick up, if it's cameras, why aren't there people?
the people walking around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Well, he does walk around it, and his legs get...
The ultimate in British engineering.
Yeah, but that's...
Oh, do we have to watch this again?
Right.
You must be joking.
There's that one
As I learned from my predecessor, Bond, I never joke about my work. Aston Martin, call it...
Look at the playhead. It's not even half the way through the movie.
The Vanish.
You got totally burned.
We gotta speed this up.
So bad.
Yeah, to what end? When will you ever need it?
I was genuinely excited because it was the first time that Pierce Brosnan got to drive an Aston Martin in the movie.
It's a nice car.
He's the... I guess Roger Moore's the only Bond to never have driven an Aston Martin.
Really?
Yeah.
He got the Lotus.
Do you think he'll get to?
eventually.
When he plays the 14th Doctor.
Yeah.
I was going to say, when all the Bonds get together right. And then new Doctor Who.
Exactly. Oh, that'd be
great. Drive each other's cars and TARDISes.
Okay, so...
Are we at the Ice Palace yet?
All right, we're going to the Ice Palace, everybody. Here we are.
Do some things happen in between that?
We find out that Miranda Frost is working for MI6.
They say death for breakfast.
Death for breakfast is said.
I have Mr. Kill in my notes. What the hell does that mean?
That's what they called Miranda Frost.
That's what the Samoan guy's name is. Mr. Kill.
You gotta be kidding me.
Is the Samoan guy the laser victim?
Yeah, laser mouth.
Laser fight, right?
I like, by the way, that there is a setting on their laser for batshit crazy laser time.
Yeah, why would
Why the fuck would that be there? It's going everywhere. Okay, so...
Zhao and Graves.
Ice Palace. Okay, the Aston Martin's flown in there, obviously. The only way you get
Fly
there.
Fly an invisible jet.
Yeah.
So why can't you buy that he could have his Aston Martin flown from the Bahamas to a storage space in England, Matt?
But he doesn't because one is left-hand drive and the other is right-hand drive.
Yeah, that's what happens when you fly something somewhere.
They are two different Aston Martins.
Cargo gets jumbled.
Yeah, Gourley.
Once you pass the equator, it goes a different way.
Exactly. Did you guys feel that Zhao and Graves had a real homoerotic thing when he wakes the one guy up from the DNA thing?
They shared a look.
Yeah.
Like, didn't he touch his face or something?
But I kind of liked it. Like, at least I felt like, you're going to at least a second level of some kind, even if it's contrived.
And they had a third guy, right? With the mop head, the emo Phillips looking.
Yeah. What did I write about?
The German tech guy, their engineer?
Vlad, who says, hey, boss, like Chico from the Marx Brothers. Hey, pretty good, hey, boss. Pretty good, hey,
that's
boss.
That's a terrible Chico.
And in the cutscene.
Hey, boss. It's a good Vlad, though.
Yes, in the cutscene, he plays a lot of piano.
He shoots the keys.
You are going to want to catch the spy.
Peanuts for you?
I got speed ramping written here. And Icarus creates a second sun. Do you know what that would do to the Earth?
By the way, terrible name. For a thing dealing with the sun.
Yes.
From a branding perspective, Icarus is a terrible name, and that was a terrible presentation. Hi, I'm the Bill Gates of this movie. I'm going to tell you the least about Icarus.
Oh my God, the best is when he finishes his speech, he goes, now let us brighten the night with our inner radiance. Crickets from the crowd. No one reacts. Like, that's supposed to be his big finishing line.
All the crowd stuff was really strange, because when Bond is standing in the crowd, he's sort of standing in front of them, and they're all like washed out.
Yeah,
like it's they may as well have been cardboard cutouts.
And for a guy who is a secret Korean son of a general, he has great use of English idiom.
Yeah, he really.
I mean, he really committed.
Death for breakfast.
Well, do you know what's funny? Is like I realized I might have paid a little more attention than you guys, but. When Zhao,
that's impossible, Matt.
When Zhao is in the Cuban place getting his DNA redone, he is listening to what English people should be, and what his biography is.
That's funny.
So they must be playing it over and over.
Exists somewhere.
I know.
Oh, that's what they spend all their time writing.
Yeah.
Okay.
The original name for Icarus, by the way, was Hubris. It was the Hubris Project.
Jinx is
It was Edsel before that.
The Edsel. Jinx is there. She's her cover is writing for Space and Science Magazine.
Space Monthlies.
Whatever the fuck it is. And then Miranda Frost goes...
Space Lifestyle.
So he must be explaining his Big Bang Theory. And then...
Right. Get it?
Halle Berry says, yeah, I think I got the... Thrust of it.
Oh, she sells that line like she may as well thrust her hips when she says thrust.
Yeah. It's the I cannot. Her Oscar should be taken away. Someone should rewatch this movie and then go. Oh,
well, not
she
least
can't
because
have
oh, this
that.
Is that lady from Catwoman. Oh, that's who, I knew she looked familiar.
Have I ever seen her in a movie in which I've liked her?
Yes.
What?
Swordfish. Her tits.
Incorrect.
I haven't seen Monsters Ball, but that's what she won the Academy Award
Nor
for.
Have I, and I probably wouldn't like it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. X-Men's?
Nope. Didn't like her.
Catwoman?
Nope.
Cat Lady.
Never saw it.
You know, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Here they are, guys.
I'm saying I don't see what the big deal is.
Here they are in Satellite Town, also in Ice Palace.
And this is the big reveal that this is the same character.
This is the moment.
Which raises more questions than it answers.
This is the moment. When Zhao gets out of that Land Rover. What a good-looking Land Rover. Thank you, Ford. He encounters Graves. This is where we find out the gene therapy thing had already been done to
So his plan was to accidentally die in a hovercraft accident. to be re-DNA'd.
I think he was just making the best of a bad
situation.
He's
an opportunist, man.
He's a real lemonade out of lemons, gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah. He's an improviser bad guy. Improviser megalomaniac.
He knows what's going to happen.
Asked and answered.
Yes, so, and give me a new face.
Now comes some spy.
Make it white, please.
Now comes some spy stuff.
It's the only DNA.
In my notes, it goes from a big board to kite surfing CG. Jesus, who am I anymore? Is my note.
Was that about yourself?
Yes. Yeah. Like what? It made me worry about my own life. Like if this is possible in this world, that this movie has come to this, how will I ever know when I've sunk that low?
You are absolutely correct. This movie, it really, like, if you thought it was shitty the first hour, the second hour, it really hits you over the head with how shitty this movie
time
is.
Time to draw the line.
Yeah.
Is a thing that he says.
Yep. Well,
as if it is an expression.
Yeah.
Time to draw the 38th parallel line.
And he says global warming is a terrible thing.
Yes.
As he sets shit on fire.
Yeah.
But he, you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was unrelated.
It's a terrible thing.
Yeah, he does.
He was doing his podcast.
He parasurfs.
Do you disagree?
What is that? Windsurfing? Parasurfing?
They love this.
A lot of surfing in this movie, Katie. Yeah. You missed out. You really
surfing,
did.
Surfing, hang gliding, parachutes. They love this.
Yeah,
this
really
is the nadir of the James Bond series. This is the lowest point of anything in these 23 movies is when he kitesurfs CGs from an Icelandic Icarus Sun tidal wave.
Yep.
And
yeah.
He still looks like he's not doing it. Like he does not know how to act in front of a green screen.
I can't blame him for that. Like he has some sort of hyper sense where like green screens stink to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's just like he's barely tolerating.
Smells like skunks.
I defy
skunks.
You to come up with a worse James Bond moment than this. I don't think there is one. Like pound for pound.
Pigeon double take.
I'll take it. Because at least it's relatively harmless.
I'll say that again.
And it's over pretty quickly.
Pigeon double take.
I'll take it. It's in a Moore movie. I'll take it.
I would take a whole movie of pigeon double takes.
Of CG tidal wave pigeon double takes. I want to edit the pigeon double take to that CG thing. So it's, that would justify it at least.
I have in my notes that at this point, like the villain Graves, right?
Yeah.
Tells Bond, I base this character that I'm being on you.
Yeah.
Like this is all the sure. awful that you are.
This is what you are.
Yeah, this is you. They didn't know each other. They met.
Everybody knows James Bond, though.
No, but he had to scan him with a phone to find out who it was. Like, they
right,
don't have a history.
Right.
They hung out for a minute and a half before they killed each other. To the best of their knowledge, they killed each other. Yeah.
Like you. He knows the James Bond thing. He hasn't seen that many James Bond movies, but he knows what the trappings of James Bond are.
That's fair.
That's what
he's
modeled
like
his
Banksy.
Character on.
Oh, it just made no sense. Like, you are my nemesis because of the minute and a half. And the grudge he has against Bond for killing him doesn't apply because he didn't die.
Right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
like the
correct.
Movie I Know What You Did Last Summer.
It gave him a
the
great opportunity to do something he clearly wanted to do.
He became a millionaire.
Yeah, he helped him. He's a benefactor.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk? I'm curious about how you guys feel about not the tidal wave necessarily, but any of the action sequences in this movie, and did they work for you?
The only thing that
were any successful
the
car chase had some cool
car chase, looking
cinematography. So
I
whatever
think the
that's
car
worth,
chase
but.
Was like.
It was still hard to follow, though.
Yeah, I just don't care. Like,
it was
you
so
can't
ridiculous.
Have a good action scene without some kind of story investment, and there's
it
and
was
moving the story to the next.
Yeah, it's
well,
it's
the bad. Thing too is there's no. I don't know that there are any real stakes in that car chase because you know Halle Berry's not going to die going into it.
You wish she would.
You wish she would, absolutely.
Oh,
come on.
Matt
that is a
Matt.
Human being character.
Not fully. If they would have given her some dimension, I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I don't want Halle Berry, the actress, to die, but I want Jinx.
But what's interesting, though, is that is whatever. Who I don't understand who built the Jaguar for them.
For Zao?
I guess it was Vlad. Right.
It
built
this
I think
he likes
Q,
to tinker.
Q was moonlighting.
Bear with me here. Some of you guys may remember this cartoon from the 80s called Mask.
Does yes,
it
of course.
This movie becomes an episode of Mask where each car has something it can do and they battle each other kind of with no consequences in a barren area.
But here's the interesting part.
On a set.
Yeah.
Like, well, it could not look
not even interesting, but like they each of them has the same gadget but a one-up of the other one.
Yeah.
So, for instance, you know,
it's a vaudeville action sequence.
James Bond.
Anything you can.
The Aston Martin's grill opens. There's 6 missiles. The Jaguar grill's open. It's 12 missiles. Yeah. And then I have
a pie.
I'm gonna
hard boiled egg.
I'm gonna shoot mortars. And well, guess what? I have target seeking shotguns.
Yeah.
It's just a whole thing. Also, James Bond. If you have those spikes for traction, they're going to help you in the ice when you're racing against the Jaguar.
Listen, we grew up in Massachusetts.
Yes.
We know what it's like.
We know what it's like to drive on ice.
I have tried to get my Mitsubishi up an ice driveway, and I couldn't do it, and I had to drive in the street. There's no way that car is going up that ice ramp.
It's absolutely insane, and there's been times where... We've had snow chains on cars just because you need the extra grip. So this whole driving across the ice situation makes no sense to me. And if he's got those fucking spikes in his tires, he should use them.
Yeah,
he should use them throughout this race.
Yeah, they use them for your eyes only.
The thing I do like is when the Aston Martin gets flipped over. Oh. He opens the roof and tears out the ejector seat.
Breaks his own damn neck.
And I'm gonna guess because of all the shit in it. The 4.5-ton Aston Martin flips back over, no problem.
Oh, no, he would have broken his neck.
I have another, and this is the sort of logic question I hate, but this movie just begs it. Yeah. Like, if you are Halle Berry and you're trapped in a room of ice,
yeah,
you're not trapped in a room of ice.
No,
break out the hairdryer and you're free. put your hand against the wall for a little while.
Right.
But they did say, as the most common expression... We have. They implemented the expression, time to give the American her bath.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know how you're always saying, time to give someone their bath?
That's more of a British expression.
And so
well,
they say
Korean.
It a lot.
Let's do name the one-liner that they didn't do. So when Zhao gets killed by a falling ice chandelier and there is a river of blood that shoots up like a water feature.
It's like a Jaws episode.
Yes. What is your one-liner there like? He's seen the light. Some listener, I thank you, whoever it was, someone had the idea of better one-liners than they do in the movie.
That's pretty
forgive
great.
Me if I've forgotten your name.
I love that.
All credit to you.
His name's Ben.
Oh. Okay.
He turned the tables on some crushed ice.
We're running out of time, so we should rush ahead.
Well, the intro is not being recorded. We have the studio for as long as we need. I know Ben has to.
Oh, hey, get out of here. Time to hang around and talk about James Bond.
Oh. At one, you got to watch your footballs.
Yeah, but I gotta leave here by 12.
Katie and I got to get out of here.
By 12:30.
Harlick's here at noon, right?
Not anymore. Yeah. Mm.
Thanks for listening to our business.
We haven't talked about the James Bond girl, except to say she wasn't in Spaced.
Rosamund Pike.
Yeah. Rosamund Pike.
I think she's the best thing in this movie.
She totally is.
Yeah.
She's not a thing, man. She's a person.
She's a real James
Bond. She's a construct.
No,
she's a robot.
She is in some ways the most developed character in this movie.
Yeah.
There is
and
motivation.
She's good at acting.
He just held his hands
above. Yeah, she is good at acting.
There's motivation for her character. Her motivation was that she really wanted to win the Olympics. That's her motivation.
Oh, and that's how she knows the guy, right?
They were on the fencing team together at Harvard.
Except for that he was a Korean guy at the time.
Yeah,
he was a general.
Correct. Yeah,
she knows that, though,
she knows that.
I don't think they allow Koreans at Harvard. Listeners, write in.
Listeners.
Not in 1991 when he would have been there. It was a different time.
Right.
But
I mean, you're from Boston.
We know.
No Koreans. except in the math department, am I right?
Matt.
What's the matter?
Matt. I inadvertently said something. You on purpose did.
Are you guys being serious right now?
The fact that she would have to rely on that M would have to rely on Michael Madsen's character to inform her
put your house in order. I'll come over and clean it up. You got any old Milwaukee over there? Because I'm coming over. You ever see the time I took a year off? I do it to you.
But like, why wouldn't MI6 know that she was on the fencing team with Colonel Moon?
I don't know, Matt. And I just want to just give you a real hug down.
Doesn't make any sense.
I have hit this point talking about this movie that I have when I watch this movie where I just am just give it to me. Just shoot me in the head.
Matt, you might like this. One time, I sold Michael Madsen books. I used to work at Book Soup.
Okay. Really?
He could not have been nicer.
I'll bet.
Oh, well, that's nice.
You got any Tom Clancy?
He seems sober.
What's that born up to?
We walked around Book Soup talking about books.
Oh, that's great.
He was a fan of the classics. You got Ulysses, Eat, Love, Pray.
I want to get into that. I hear a lot of things.
I want to buy all the places you'll go for my nephew who graduated from high school.
You got Where the Sidewalk Begins?
I love a prequel. That's right. A true thing about Michael Madsen. Loves a prequel.
Full Moon is killed by his son on the airplane, and it slows to slow motion, and they start playing that horribly cliche, like, music.
Yeah, like
that is basically Middle Eastern. I know there's Korean versions
of it. And that's supposed to be
Bostonians.
If you want to go see this Jaguar, by the way, you can head to the Peterson Auto Museum. And it is sitting next to the Batmobile.
Before
the one in Simi Valley?
No, it's the one on Fairfax and Wilshire.
Before he kills his father, he says to his father...
To marry his mother. I didn't follow this movie.
It's time to watch The Rising of the Sun. And that one does work.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one works on all the levels.
Yeah.
It was intended to work. I don't love a
ben
pun.
Ben Acker loves a pun. If you, listeners, if you have puns, tweet him at BN Acker.
If you do that, I will
send
block
all
you.
Of your puns.
I will block
do
you.
Him. Do it. Send them to me and I'll
he
send
does.
Them to
him. He will unfollow if you pun it. If you pun it too hard.
Pun it at me. He can't block
me. No faves, no RTs.
It's time to play Spot Michael G. Wilson. The producer is in every Bond movie.
Really?
And I watched this movie like 2 weeks ago, so I don't even remember where he is in this movie, but I think he's one of the voices on... Oh, he's one of the like MI6 people in that... Am I right about that, Matt?
In the bunker?
Yeah.
I think he's in the bunker.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he's in the bunker.
What he actually did was get DNA therapy. But I'd like... make himself North Korean.
He was Zhao. He played Ricky Yoon.
He was...
Why do you need DNA therapy?
He was Jerry Bruckheimer with DNA.
Like, what is it for?
Mother issues.
To change your looks completely. To change your whole...
Down to the DNA?
Yeah. Yeah, because you can now go from brown eyes to blue. You can't get diamonds out of your face with it. But
diamond face...
I'm depressed watching this movie.
I don't get why they're not like, okay, so what are they, what? Like if you've developed the technology to like heal burn victims or whatever.
No,
like,
use it to hide supposedly dead North Korean dictators.
That would
be dictators.
Down a whim.
Supposedly.
I don't get it, you guys.
Allegedly.
I don't get this movie.
Part of Sun/Graves thing or Moon/Graves thing to like, prove himself to his dad.
I think it was all about that at the root of it.
I think at the root daddy of all of his movies, it's daddy issues. I think that's
at the root of all Graves' movies,
all Gustav Graves' movies. It's daddy issues.
Oh, he had a vanity production.
Triple X.
There's
Along Came a Spider.
There's a definite wave function that goes along with the Bond movies, and it's You Only Live Twice, to Moonraker, to Die Another Day, and it's where Bond goes too far and has to pendulum swing back the other way. And you
too
all,
far in what way?
Well, it goes too fantastic.
Yeah.
So from too You Only Live Twice, you get Honor, Majesty, Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
And from Moonraker, you get For Your Eyes Only. From Die Another Day, you get Casino Royale. And they always swing back the other way. And that's so for every Die Another Day, you get a Casino Royale. So in a way, you have to thank this movie.
It's been 40 years that they've been doing it? 50 years?
At this 50. Point. 50 yeah. now, yeah.
And they're 40. Still swinging too far.
Yeah.
And then doing what, like...
You'd think they'd learned.
Yeah.
Have they watched any
but
of these movies?
But here's the other... Here's the interesting part about that, too, up till very, very recently. But whenever the pendulum would swing to the crazy, that was the highest grossing movie.
Sure.
Except for Die Another
Day,
because
it's...
Die Another Day was the highest grossing movie, not adjusted for inflation, $467 million it made.
Until the first, until the reboot.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy crap.
So that made $467 million. Moonraker made a
Moonraker
shit ton of money.
Huge, yeah.
Well, but it makes sense. I mean, they've been doing them long enough.
And, but like, they're given
people
like...
People are invested.
But people will still go see a shitty James Bond movie.
Well, nobody goes to it expecting it to be shitty.
Yeah. The Ally in Georgia do.
Yes. They're at the U.S. command bunker in the demilitarized zone in South Korea. That's where we see Michael G. Wilson. So there's a lot of... also, did you guys, when she said NSA, were you like, ooh?
What, like, that's who's defending us?
Yeah, it's like, oh, no.
Oh, before that, can
they
we
have
talk
all
about
the emails.
How ejecting that, like, pulling the thing so that the guy's parachute takes him out of the plane?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Like, that was a moment where, like, if that had been in any other movie... If Bruce Willis did that,
yeah,
that would be a cool
moment. Well, it would have been a moment, too. Like, it wasn't built as a moment.
Didn't they give it a pun?
Why this director is pretty terrible.
Yeah. What does Brosnan say when he gets that guy?
Shoot you later. You're dead.
Have a nice go through the engines.
You totally fall.
Have you seen Raiders of the Lost Ark?
There's something on the wing.
He does
now. Something.
There's a man in the wing of this plane.
Hey, I'll tell you exactly what he says.
Thank God.
Before that, he said, looks like your friends have bailed.
Oh.
Which
hey, boss.
Doesn't work, like, works no. as a, this is the thing they did, but right. not as the thing that James Bond would say.
No.
Oh, that's not an expression.
Yeah.
But my dreams can kill you.
Right?
The old twisteroo.
Time to face destiny.
That's cool.
It's shot so poorly, though.
Yeah.
But, like, it's something, like, Mal Reynolds would do. Like, that's a real Firefly, absolutely. Like, subversion of the thing.
Yeah.
Time to face gravity.
Which he doesn't.
No. Oh, and then he electrocutes himself.
Time to face gravity is just a...
You know that common expression.
Yeah. Time for physics to act as they always do.
Good morning. Time to face gravity.
Jesus.
Have a good death for breakfast.
So seriously, I'll see you at the Arc Light at 7. We're going to face gravity.
Also,
this is going to be dated in 3 days.
Also, the Halle Berry says, in reference to stabbing to death, the
Rosamund Pike,
yep. I think I broke her heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Doesn't work.
No. Doesn't I think I stabbed her heart would have worked.
Right? With a sword and a book.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Give her the old book sword.
It's a good movie is what
but
we're
doesn't,
saying.
But doesn't Brosnan get a little sad about Miranda?
He should.
I think he does. He emotes a little too much.
He does get a little
I
bit
hope
sad.
She comes back to face Daniel Craig.
Oh my God!
So then they drop older, the wiser. Helicopter out the back.
Books
oh, and this is yeah, Jesus. This is the thing. This is like, again, if you writers out
pointless.
There, character stuff, schmarrister stuff, people trying to push a button and whether the button works or not to save
Come
their
on.
Lives. Terrible.
Well, and you guys talked about this a little bit in Casino Royale, where like it's not skill that wins him the day.
Yeah,
it's luck.
Yeah.
And it works there because you're along for the ride. There's an emotional journey.
Which
that
part
you're on.
Of that in
at the end, right? It's because of
the poker.
Yeah,
I mean
the poker scene.
It's just luck.
Oh, right.
That he wins
oh, yes.
That hand.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
But because
head
you're
in the game, man.
It's
but
an
he
emotional
was willing to take that
payoff.
Risk.
Yeah. Right. It's yeah. an emotional payoff. But here, it's will the button work? Who cares?
I also, know. This movie oh, ended God. At the Ice Palace. Like, all
oh,
this
absolutely.
Plane stuff is...
I disagree. This movie ended in the hologram projection.
Well, no. Technically, yes. It ended there.
No, this
no. I'm talking about
no.
the first one.
I'll tell you exactly what happened is when the gun barrel sequence starts and the bullet goes in the gun, you're being shot and you've gone to hell.
It's all a fever dream.
And you're in lost
oh, this
purgatory.
Is this is that episode of Breaking Bad. This yeah. is the finale. Yes. Did
yeah.
we die?
Yeah, yeah.
So then they end
which
up...
Which we can all agree that's what the finale of Breaking Bad was, right?
Oh.
Yeah, whatever Norm MacDonald says.
They end up in a perfect little Korean hut with some cars stuck like up like monoliths or Stonehenge.
That someone so poor being near a car so fancy and the car is subverted. Like, this is
they've got a pretty nice little home, though. And
well,
then they're putting diamonds in the belly.
The millionaires that make this movie think that's hilarious.
Diamonds in the Belly was the original title.
Diamonds in the Belly.
She's giving him a diamond HJ.
yeah, and the off-screen Leave It In.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It's so yeah. blah.
Oh. Off screen, leave it in. Yeah. On screen, take it out.
Yeah, no, that was just crass and creepy.
Yeah, because like, this movie hasn't earned the right to do that kind of, like Casino Royale, the little pinky thing.
There it is. There it is. They've landed the helicopter next to a hut.
Thank God.
As one does.
Oh, David Arnold doing some good work here, I think. Some nice stuff. Not his best, but
the score is fine.
Oh, it's oh, You Only Live Twice.
Yeah.
Huh.
See, I love that he references. Wait, don't pull it out. I'm not finished with it yet.
Like you say,
finish
during sex.
With it.
Leave it in.
Don't move it.
It's going to come out sooner or later.
No, leave it in, please.
What?
A few more minutes.
Also, I like how she's just fucked him in a bathing suit.
You really have to get these back.
That's how good he is.
We have to get all my dicks back.
And it's You Only Live Twice music solely because we're in an Asian country, not even Japan.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm not quite sure.
Lisa
for housekeeping.
But what you have to understand about...
How good you are.
I think the... To succinctly describe this movie musically, the transition from this to what they play over the closing credits, I think we'll sum it up.
Die another day.
No. It's David Arnold having fun with techno music. Okay.
What?
Oh, it's the Dirty Vegas remix.
This is the credits of a James Bond
movie. Did Ace of Base do this?
Jesus.
I have a... Matt, before you play us out, will you play that clip that Ben had you queue up?
Yes, of course.
And then after that, I have something I want to play.
Yeah, of course. We can all play audiobook
of War and Peace.
This is...
What is the movie?
This is some of Pierce Brosnan's finest acting.
What is the name of the movie? It's,
no one knows.
No, it's there. They...
It doesn't say. He didn't get mad, he got even, is what this says.
It begins with a B, it's his name.
I'll tell you in a second here.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember. For anyone who loves James Bond and is listening to this podcast, go listen to the Adam and Joe show. It has nothing to do with James Bond. Listen to all of them.
Mm-hmm. Full stop.
I can't figure it out. Well, here, let's just play the clip. This is Brosnan's finest acting moment.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Now, can we play the techno remix of that?
Of course we can.
Which I think David Arnold did.
Here's the dance remix.
Yeah.
What goes on in this town is none of your business. None of your business. None of your business.
As long as I'm living here. As long as I'm living here.
Time to face gravity.
As long as I'm living here. I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
This is amazing.
I assume between the time that we played the first clip and the second clip, you repeated the first clip again and again, made it a catchphrase with all your friends.
This is really fantastic.
I think it actually uses this, but there was on Adam and Joe when they were obsessed with this clip that someone sent them a version where it never ended, and he just kept yelling here. Amazing. Because the pitch never changes. It's so fantastic.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I said that I would continue.
So that's my favorite James Bond theme.
Oh, I have to return this DVD to Matt.
I said I would continue this segment, which I planned to do, where we would play alternate Bond title songs. So Die Another Day, as far as I know, doesn't have them, but one that we haven't played that we've already covered the movie is Quantum of Solace. Oh, god damn it, don't write it.
Are you Canadian?
No, I'm Southern California.
Thinking of Becoming?
This is called No Good About Goodbye, and you hear this theme throughout the movie, and which I love when the theme song has themes throughout the movie.
Who did the actual Quantum of
Jack
Solace?
White and Alicia
Keys.
That's
right.
So this
that's
is Shirley Bassey. David Arnold got Shirley Bassey to sing this song.
Nice.
And
Good get.
Yeah, very good get.
Do they know each other from like the Bond movies or something?
Well, something like that.
They went to Harvard together.
There you go.
They were on the fencing team.
Yeah, she was Korean at the time.
Where is the solace that I will let this play us out. Ben's, you guys have been fantastic.
Thanks, you guys too.
Thank you for having us. We really are fans of the show.
Do you guys? Would you guys like to plug anything?
Yes,
please.
The Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Yes,
heard of it.
In Los Angeles, we are monthly, and we still have tickets available for our December late show.
at Largo at the Coronet. Go to Largo's website or go to our website, thrillingadventurehour.com, for details about all of the things we're doing. We have a lot of fun stuff planned for the early half of next year.
And I will be on the next Thrilling
yes.
show, right?
Yeah. Matt's going to join us for
the
next show.
November.
As will Mark McConville, your cohort in Super Ego.
Forget it.
Forget it.
All right. Well, I guess you're not doing it.
And are you plugging? Are you ready to plug your yours and Matt McConville?
I'm not. I'll plug. I'll plug the Nerdist Writers Panel, which is here on the Nerdist Network. If there are movies or TV shows that you like, I guarantee we've had someone from those TV shows.
Frasier.
We've had Frasier writers.
Oh yeah,
Of course, we've had
such
everyone.
A good.
It's a lot of fun. Thank you. I appreciate it. And yes.
Amanda and Maria have been on this as well.
Yeah, they
so
did.
If you enjoyed them on here, listen to them.
They killed me on that, and I couldn't wait to listen to them on your show. And I was saying to the Mats beforehand, I wish they would have Maria on every month to be passionate about whatever James Bond movie they're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, and Mark McConville and I will be starting a podcast soon about
Jeremy Carter,
which is inspired by James Bonding. We got to talking on Twitter about Elvis Costello albums.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And we were like, oh, we should do a James Bonding style.
Call it Elvis Costelloing.
From both ends. Elvis Podstello is what Mark wants to call
Elvis
it.
Elvis Podstello.
Jeremy and I are going to start one that is reviewing this podcast. That so it should be pretty incoherent.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you. And thank you for taking on the burden of Die Another Day.
We are in the shit right now.
Yeah.
We are.
What's next?
Next is You Only Live Twice, which I like. Matt
is
does
that,
not.
Which one is that? Is
Sean
that the
Connery,
unofficial
that
Sean Connery?
No, that is the volcano lair for
Japan.
Blofeld in Japan.
What was the unofficial Sean Connery?
Never seen that. Never.
I like that one.
And as of now, our guest lined up for You Only Live Twice is the wonderful Greg Proops. So he has a lot. He has a wealth of film knowledge. We should have a good episode.
Should be interesting. And then... World's Not Enough.
Yeesh. No, actually, that may be my favorite Brosnan.
I take it back.
But I mean, still, any Brosnan. Yeesh.
He only did four. Is that right?
Yeah. God willing.
I heard he's going to do some more.
Jesus, it's just threatening.
He's been making them himself.
He's going to team up with Kevin
in his backyard.
McClure. No.
Then maybe you shouldn't.
This is their if you want to see the on-screen reuniting of Miranda Frost and James Bond, watch The World's End.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
He was the best James Bond in that.
Yeah. He was.
He was the
No,
goatee.
Dalton is in Hot Fuzz, but Shaun of the Dead doesn't have a Bond actor.
It's named after
Sean right. Connery. Yeah, Sean Connery of the Dead. That's right, the full title. The foreign title.
We got to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Guys... Thank you. James Bonding will return in You Only Live Twice. How long will my heart turn to ice? I've got diamonds on my face. My underwear is lace. So good about hello.
No good about.
Oh, perfect timing.
No.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Fake nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos, ruler of the Eighth Circle.
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.